Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come now to your word, and we pray that you would open up your word to us. We all have different things going on in our lives, and we all come to you at different stages in our lives, and there are unique things that you know about each one of us, and we all need your grace in our lives. And so we pray for your Holy Spirit's work, to work through your word and to apply your word to our hearts and minister grace to us in this hour, not only in all the other things, not just in the preaching of the word, the other things that we've been doing, but also here now in the preaching of your word, that you would minister your grace to us as a group and as individuals. And we look to you as the and your power, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do is to read to for us a number of scriptures, and I will tell you where these scriptures are as we work our way through, but we will start at the beginning of our Bibles, and we'll work through, and we're going to look at seven different portions of Scripture, and we're going to read seven different portions of Scripture as we work through this. But first, I want to give a few words of introduction to the preaching of the Word. The title of the sermon is The Importance of Scripture for the Christian's Life. And this might be something that you say, well, I already know it's important, but maybe we can just think about that a little bit together, and we can see together some of the ways that it is important and some of the things that we can impress upon others and help others, other Christians we know or other believers, and also remind ourselves of truths. Apostle Peter, in one of his one place, he says, "It is no trouble for me to remind you." And it's no trouble for me, and I need reminding, and we all need reminding. Now, God knows we need reminding. That's why we have a Sabbath that repeats itself. That's why we take the Lord's Supper, because we are to remember. So the scriptures are full of us needing to remember, and tonight we come to things that most of us know, but we need to remember. Now, let me say this. If you could hear only one sermon in your life, tonight's sermon is not the one you need to hear, okay? This is not the sermon tonight that you need to hear of all the sermons that you would need to hear. Because of all the sermons you need to hear, what you need to hear is the gospel. You need to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ and your own sin and your need of Christ and the forgiveness that is found in him and how he was your substitute on the cross and how he invites you to come to him and how all those who come to him are received by him and forgiven. And he takes all of his righteousness and he clothes you with that. That's the most important sermon that anyone can hear. So there are many other sermons that we need to hear. The one we heard this morning about dealing with fear and anxiety and being strong and courageous, that's good for us. And tonight's sermon on the scripture is good for us too. So tonight's sermon is about the Bible, what we call God's Word or the scriptures. And everything I'm going to give you tonight is very important because you have the scriptures. That's how you know the gospel is true. That's how you know and how you can judge the most important sermon that you could ever hear. That's how you would judge it being true, because you would have the scriptures by which to judge that sermon. So the first thing I want to do is to give some passages of scripture. This is how we're going to do this. Give some passages of scripture that point out how the scriptures are important for your life and mine. And then we'll look at some things that come to mind, like maybe some objections that people give you at work, some objections people give you at school, or objections that people give you when you're with family members. And so we'll address some of those things. And then we'll address some of the objections that even arise from among Christians as well when it comes to how we, because of saying that when I press upon us the need for us to be in the Scriptures. And as we work through these passages, I want you to think about the practical ways that you can implement the scripture in your own life. In other words, I'm going to try to do my job up here of preaching the word. I want you to do your job of listening and applying the word. This is the worship of God, and you probably already know this, is not just a matter of of the preacher up delivering stuff and the audience just receiving it, but the audience is to actively receive it, and the audience or the congregation is to actively receive it and actively think about how can I apply it to my life. So, in other words, there has to be time in our life when we do reading and when we do thinking and meditation upon the scriptures and in which we study the scriptures. We meet for worship on the Lord's Day. We may attend the Christian education classes. We may go to a Bible study during the week or some small group. We have family worship in our homes. We do personal worship times in our homes. There are books to read. There are recordings to listen to. There are videos to watch. There are all kinds of study opportunities. And so these passages of Scripture that we're going to look at establish the fact that the Scriptures are important for us, and that we are to look at them and how they are important to us in the living out of our lives, and that the Scriptures ought to have a place of priority in our lives and as something to which we give our time and energy and attention to. So the first passage of Scripture that we'll look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So in this passage, the Scriptures are important to us because God expects us to be remembering and applying His truth to everything that is going on in our lives. He expects us to be applying His truth to everything that is going on in our lives. So if you look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." God told His people as they entered the promised land that the Scriptures were to be something that were before them, that was to be in their consciousness. It wasn't the Scriptures were not to be anything unfamiliar to them, the words of God. It doesn't mean, or it didn't mean, that they had to have some special verse that they took with them when they went out to plow their fields. But what it did do, what it did mean is that when they plowed their fields, there were truths of God and the truth of God that would be something that they would meditate upon. Not that that would be all that they would meditate upon. They would think about their seed. They would think about harvesting. They would think about cultivating. They would think about a lot of things. But the Word of God would govern their thinking, and the Word of God would be something that they would meditate upon as they did their work. They were to show diligence in teaching their children. Their children were to grow up understanding the world around them by looking at and thinking about everything through God's eyes, through God's wisdom. That's how you and I are to live as adults, and that's how children are to live as well. That we are to think about everything, we are to look at everything, we are to evaluate everything, we are to understand everything through the Scriptures, looking at them through God's wisdom, through God's Word. Our opinions, the things we post on Facebook, our use of our day, our goals in life, how we spend our money, the reputation that we have with those with whom we work and go to school, everything in our lives comes under the Lordship of Christ, and He speaks to us in His Word so that we can apply it to wherever we are and whatever is going on. There is no neutral territory. There is no neutral area. God's Word applies to all, and that is what Deuteronomy 6 is saying to us, and that's what God has said to His people all throughout history. The second passage, and there's going to be two or three of these in the Psalms, is in Psalm 1. So the scriptures are important to us because delighting in God's truth and meditating upon it will bring you prosperity. You want to be prosperous? Okay. You can be prosperous through the meditation upon and observance of God's word. That's what God promises in his word. We hear a lot of condemnation of the prosperity gospel, and it's never God's will to be poor, and it's never God's will to be sick. We hear, and we ought to be negative toward all that. But that doesn't mean God's against prosperity. It doesn't even mean God's against health or wealth. It doesn't mean he's not against prosperity. In fact, he gives a prosperity that's better than wealth and health. If you look at Psalm 1, you see why the scriptures are important to us to bring prosperity in our lives. The first three verses: how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Maybe you meditate upon God's word at night when you cannot sleep. You meditate upon God's word when you do the dishes or when you drive down the road. You meditate on God's word when you're engaged in personal worship. You set aside a time. But it is through the meditation upon God's word that God's word influences our lives. Prosperity may not mean financial gain or physical health, but a more valuable type of prosperity, which includes peace of mind, a life pleasing to God, a life that honors God and is in keeping with his commandments. So the scriptures are important to us because in the meditation upon his word, it is the vehicle through which God brings prosperity to his people. Thirdly, the scriptures are important to us because of the wisdom that they give to us. If you'll turn to Psalm 19, and look at this psalm. God's word is important to us because God's special revelation is more valuable than anything that money can buy. If you'll look at the construction of Psalm 19, when you look at Psalm 19, the first six verses talk about creation. It talks about the sun. It talks about the glory of God being revealed in creation. This is what we could call God's general revelation. Our confession of faith does this. Our confession of faith says there's two kinds of revelation: general, which is in creation, and special, which is by the scriptures and by Jesus. And so here we have in the Psalm 19, the first six verses speak to the general revelation in the first six verses. And then verses 7 through 11 is about special revelation that God has given, wherein he has spoken to us, he has revealed who he is, he has revealed who we are, he has revealed his will to us. Look at how you and I are to value God's word in verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's talking about your soul and my soul. It's talking about making us wise. So see that application. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, our hearts. The commandment of the Lord is true, is pure, enlightening the eyes, enlightening us. The fear of the Lord is enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So all of these things show us the value of God's word. How many Christians believe this? How many Christians believe that the Word of God is this? How many Christians prove that we believe this by the attention that we give to the Word of God? How many Christians can find time for Facebook and computer games and television shows and sports and other things and have no time for reading and meditating upon God's Word. Can it be proven that we believe what the Bible says about itself, about how valuable it is and how wonderful it is, by how we treat it? Do our lives prove that these words here are important, that these words are true, and they are true of us? Well, let's stay in the psalm. Let's go to Psalm 119. This is a great passage of Scripture. Psalm 19, 119. The Scriptures are important to us because they are a shortcut to wisdom and not learning things the hard way. You like shortcuts? I like shortcuts when I can take them. When your GPS gives you one, when you can avoid traffic, you like a shortcut. We all like a shortcut if it's a good shortcut. Some people say there are no shortcuts to life. There actually are some shortcuts. You just got to be careful about which ones you take. And some ways you can't get them. But there is actually a shortcut to wisdom and not learning things the hard way. And in Psalm 119, verse 97, we're told about this. And look at what it's saying. It's saying in verse 97 is saying that young people are smarter than old people if young people are using God's Word to teach them, and that's what they're listening to. You hear people say all the time, "Well, I'm older than you and I know better." Maybe. "I've lived longer and so I know better." Maybe. "I've experienced this and because of my experience I have more wisdom." Maybe. But one thing we know for sure, just because someone has lived a long time or experienced a bunch of things does not mean that necessarily they're any smarter. There are many people who could have a lot of age and could be very wrong and not know a lot of things. And here we're told that those who make God's Word their teacher, they know more than their can know more than their teachers. Look at verse 97. How I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, you can personally pray this prayer yourself. We don't need to look at this prayer and think, here's the psalmist's experience. This should be our experience. This should be us praying this. Lord, you gave me some smarts in this area. You've taught me. I thank you that you have given me wisdom. You and I see a lot of times the world going about in the wrong way, and we should not pat ourselves on the back and think how wonderful it is that I understand things so much better than the world, but we should humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you that you have blessed me by your grace to understand these things and to see things with your eyes and with your wisdom. And when we pray that way, we pray just like the psalmist. And that's what he does through his word. It doesn't come by us going out on some mountaintop or sitting by the seashore with our legs crossed and trying to think happy thoughts and God coming and doing something like that. But we meditate upon His Word, and His Word teaches us. I'm not against meditation. We need to do a lot of meditation. But it's meditation that is guided by God's truth, by God's Word. Meditation is great. We don't do enough of it. Meditation is wonderful. But it should be meditation that is rooted, that is birthed in us by God's truth and the truth that is about Him. Okay, the fifth scripture is John 17. Here in John 17, Jesus prays for you and me. Do you know Jesus prayed for you? He did. He prayed for us in John 17. John 17, he prayed, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. A couple thousand years ago, Christ prayed in real time for us. But look also at verse 14. where Jesus references the scriptures. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus is not like the world, and neither are his followers. Neither are we. We are to be different from the world, and what will make us different, what will sanctify us and set us apart, is the truth of God being believed and lived out in our lives. We listen to God's truth. We seek to follow Jesus. We seek to love what he loves and hate what he hates and do as he did. He always thought and spoke and acted in agreement with the scriptures. And as we do the same, the scriptures becomes one vehicle, not the only one, but one vehicle whereby God sets us apart more and more as his people. Many Christians are intimidated by the world. They don't want to appear different. They just want to blend in and look like everyone else and not make waves. And yet that is exactly the opposite of what is the will of God. Not that we should be making trouble, but it goes against what Jesus prayed for you and me. He says the world is in darkness and we are light. He is the light of the world. And Jesus says we are to be light. He says we are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus says about you and me. We are to be the light. Of course, we point to Christ. We don't see ourselves as saviors, but we are the bearers of his truth. We are his set apart ones who represent him in his world. It's a great calling, a great blessing. All right, the sixth passage of Scripture is over in 2 Timothy 3. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture to us. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And the Scriptures are important to us because basically it's valuable for anything and everything it says. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So whatever the Bible says is important to us, and so it's valuable to us. So that's why it's important to us as Christians. And then the final passage is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So the scriptures are important to us as Christians because they are necessary and life-sustaining for our growth. Just as a child is hungry to nurse at his mother's breast, and just as it is necessary, it is just as necessary and life-sustaining for our growth, so the scriptures are to us as God's children, as God's people. So practically speaking, I don't know how you work this out in your life or how you are going to work this out, but you and I need to take advantage of all the opportunities that we have for the study of God's Word and for growing in grace. You and I need to use the means of grace like Scripture and prayer and worship and all these things. And we should schedule time to give our undivided attention to God's Word, not just in corporate worship, but as families and as individuals, and for all the reasons that I have mentioned and others that could be given. With this in mind, there might be some who would raise objections, or if you shared some of these things with others at work tomorrow or at school, they might question you or they may raise objections. And here are some of the things they might say, and here are some of the answers that you can give. They might say something like, you know, God and Jesus are most important to me, not a book. Sounds real righteous. Sounds real spiritual, but it's a very foolish thing to say. No one is advocating worshiping a book. And of course, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are important to us. But what did we see this morning from Scripture? What was the first thing that God told Joshua for him to have success? You pay attention to my word. You meditate upon my word. You pay attention to this. If we really worship God, we'll count important what He counts important. Or consider what Jesus said when He was tempted. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That sounds pretty important. So there's a way you answer that objection. Someone else says, well, we can't know for sure it is God's word. But we take the words of Christ, and I don't have time to go into textual criticism. I don't have time to go into all the different ways of acknowledging the Scriptures and historically, but I'll just give you the words of Jesus, which I believe to be reliable and which the church has believed to be reliable. And basically he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. And we, in having the Scriptures, we have what Christ acknowledged, and we have what has been given as those who were under authority to give. Someone else might say, well, that's all well and good, but I'm busy, I don't have time. And if I did have time, I don't have energy. Well, there's a bigger problem here than this. When Jesus says, do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need all these things. In other words, Christ says if we're too busy to give attention to His Word, if we're too busy to pray, if we're too busy to spend time in His Word, there's a problem with our scheduling, a problem with our priorities. If we are so preoccupied with the things of this life that we have no time to meditate on God's Word to us or respond to Him in prayer, then we have things pretty screwed up as far as how they're supposed to be. Jesus dies and takes our punishment so we have eternal life. And He prays to the Father that we will be more set apart for Him through the instrumentality of His Word. And our response is, sorry, I have other things to do. Really? That's not where we want to be. Okay. So sometimes we don't feel like being in His Word. We don't even feel like being in worship sometimes. We have to ask Him to give us a better heart. We're fallen. We sang today about He knows our frailty. Okay? He knows this. It's not news. It's not like, oh, God is surprised with our attitude. No, it doesn't happen that way. He understands. But we take that to Him. We take it to Him when we have that bad attitude. I remember a few years ago in reading through the Scriptures, I do a little bit different system now, but in reading through the Scriptures, it was time for me to read through the prophets. And I had a bad attitude. And I said, Lord, I just have a bad attitude. It just seems like it's going to be dry, and I know it's your word, and I'm sorry, and I need your help in this. And it was a great experience. I can't promise it's going to happen that way to you, but it was a great experience for me. And it made me want to read the prophets more after that, and want to appreciate, and made me appreciate them more. But I thought He moved in me by His Spirit to make me be honest with Him, to confess my own weakness, and He blessed me in spite of myself. Sometimes we come to the Scriptures and we may feel like we are dull of heart and dull of mind, and we have a lot of things on our mind, and it's a real battle. And it's a real battle that we often lose. But it's still a battle that we fight. Sometimes we come to those places in the Scriptures where, you know, all the genealogies, and I just skip the genealogies, okay? You get to my age, you think, okay, you can skip the genealogies. I don't know. I'm not trying to make rules for anybody else. I'm just saying that the Word, God does, His word is not to be something hard and tiresome and burdensome, but it's something that he gives us. And the genealogies are as much a part of the word as any other part of the word. It doesn't mean that we have less respect for his truth. Sometimes we have a bad attitude because we have unconfessed sin in our life. Maybe that's a problem. If you're watching porn, if you're fantasizing with romance novels, then your heart's not going to be warmed to spend a little time with Jesus in his word. And unless you take time to confess your sin, then you know you have his forgiveness and he welcomes you and accepts you. Or maybe you find things too difficult to understand in the scriptures, and that's okay too. Concentrate on what's most understandable. Just bite off a little and not what is too hard to digest. There was a time when some of us had to learn how to use a VCR. And then 10 years later, we worked on trying to figure out a computer. And then a few years later, we had to figure out how to use phones. And we really are all very smart because we are made in the image of God. And God's word is such that we can learn, and we can learn a whole lot more than we think. I've been the pastor a lot of years, and I've seen Christians use the fact that they're not scholars as an excuse not to read the Word of God. I remember one gentleman who could take apart appliances and put them back together, and yet he would use it as an excuse that he was not skilled to understand the Scripture. We're not asking him to write a sermon, okay? We're talking about just meditating upon God's Word and reading His truth and appreciating His truth. There are all kinds of aids and helps to us. We've never had more things at our fingertips with computers. Maybe we feel numb and we can't pray. And even then, we ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray on your behalf. That's what He says in Romans 8, that He prays on our behalf. You're no different from other people. We all don't go through life singing and skipping in a happy way. Sometimes our hearts are warm and other times we go through cold spells. Now, let me mention just some things not to do. Don't treat worship and the study of God's Word like some good luck charm so that you will have a good day, or as though God owes you something because you cut Him a break and gave up some time to read your Bible and to worship Him. King David was a man who meditated upon God's Word and meditated upon God's Word a lot, and his life was full of headaches. I mean, do you ever think about it? Who had greater promise? I mean, all the promises that were given to David, and you see all the stuff that's fallen in on him all the time? So it's not as though God owes us something because we are in His Word. The same with the Apostle Paul. And they always kept God's Word before them. Another thing I would say is don't settle for cheap substitutes. You like Christian blogs? That's fine. But reading a Christian blog is not the same as reading and meditating on your Bible. I'm not saying don't read them. I read them. I appreciate them. But that's not a substitute for Bible reading. Or reading some little cute quote on Facebook is not dealing with your personal worship or quiet time or whatever it is you want to call it. We're talking about treating the Lord with respect. And I'm not saying you got to spend all day in this. You deal with it. You deal with it. I'm not going to make rules for you. But we don't want to settle for cheap substitutes. The Scriptures are important for us, and it cannot be stressed too much. The Lord is pleased to have fellowship with us. It is all something very beautiful and wonderful. The Lord delights in having fellowship with us this evening and with you tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, on your lunch break, whenever. I'm not saying that you don't do other things. I'm just saying there should be a place where we are feeding upon His Word and meditating. I want to close with an illustration that I found a few years ago in a book by Donald Miller on entitled Blue Like Jazz. In this book, Miller speaks of being at a university where he knew two girls. One was a Christian and one was not. The Christian girl became a good friend of the non-Christian girl. And the non-Christian girl described the relationship that developed between the two. The Christian girl suggested to the non-Christian that they read the Bible together. And they were going to read the book of Matthew. So Miller says, "So then, you started reading the Bible?" Miller asked. And the non-Christian responded, "Yes. We would eat chocolates and smoke cigarettes and read the Bible, which is the only way to do it, if you ask me. Don, the Bible is so good with chocolate. I always thought the Bible was more of a salad thing, you know, but it isn't. It's a chocolate thing." Well, of course, the Bible is also meat and potatoes, isn't it? And the Bible is wine and other things too when we think about food. But when she said it was a chocolate thing, we identify with what she's saying. It's something good. It's such a, something sweet. It's something delightful. It's something wonderful. Let us be those who not only agree with this lady, but let us be those who agree with Jesus, who appreciate God's truth and give ourselves to it, and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you this evening for your word, and we thank you that you've given it to us. And what a treasure it is. And we pray that you would forgive us for times when we take it for granted, take you for granted. Forgive us when our hearts are cold and numb to you. And help us to delight in you and delight in your truth and to live by it. And feed us and bless us. Prosper us. Prosper us. Paul's in prison. He is suffering for the faith. And what a prosperous man he is. Prosperous more than all of his enemies. Prosperous more than those who sit on thrones. So prosperous he could say to those who ruled over him, "I wish you could be like me." And say it from humility and say it in love. And so, Lord, make us to be your prosperous people because we value you and we love you above all things. And we use your word as a means of grace, which it is, a means of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, hear us. Amen.